place, watch me steal the show. Higher ground, yeah, I'm rising fast. This is my moment, it's built to last.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast. I'm your host, Rebecca Whitman, helping you go from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Today, we have a friend of mine in the studio. Welcome, Susan Treadgold.
Thank you, Rebecca. Thrilled to be here.
I'm so happy you're here, and this has been a long time coming. I know we wanted to do this after you gave your first TEDx talk in Florence, and we'll talk all about that in a minute. But first, I'm going to tell my audience about your amazing background. So Susan is a holistic high-performance coach and a fractional advisor for early-stage healthcare and longevity companies. She's formerly an investment banker at top firms like Morgan Stanley, Merrill Lynch, and Citigroup. She now empowers high-performing women to achieve sustainable success without burnout using her curated biohacking tools. She also supports world-changing startups with pitching, presenting, and lead generation. She hosts the High Performance Woman Talk Show, which I was so honored to be on, and she is a multiple-time best-selling author. She completed a TEDx talk in Florence, which we just mentioned, and she sits on the board of charities like Roots of Promise, supporting Ugandan orphans. So tell us your story, Susan. How did you go from being an investment banker to a high-performance energy coach?
Oh, well, that was a little bit of a journey. Investment banking for 20 years in London. I adulted in London. That pretty much led to burnout. And I had a radical career shift into executive coaching. I actually started that while I was a banker because I had coached myself and I found how transformational it was for me. And one year, you know, my boss, he's like, what are your training and development needs for this year? And I'm like, you know what, Richard, I'd rather stick needles in my eyes than do another options or derivatives course. And he's like, okay. All right. And he's like, so what do you want to do? And I'm like, I'd like to do a master's in corporate and executive coaching. And it was like, drop mic. And he's like, okay, no one's ever asked for that before. You know, what's the business need? And I said, well, you know, I have a large team. I think it'll make me a better leader. So that is how it started. I wasn't actually thinking of doing it as a career. But during the 2008 financial crisis, I had to let the majority of my team go. So this ended up being a perfect time to make a career change. And so the whole thing about high performance, that came a little bit later. So I started first executive coaching. And then I just realized that there was a lot around the energy space. And I got burnt out myself. I got breast cancer. And my conclusion was really getting at the source of that all. It was really energy. And that is the number one factor in lasting success in almost anything. And if you start to lose it, you're not going to achieve what you want. And also your health is going to suffer. And so I wrote some books related to that. The latest one was the High Performing Woman. And that's obviously the name of my talk show, which you said as well. So in that, I have what I used for my own framework to underpin my healing. And it's an energy wheel. And I like to say that a lot of the energy out there when it comes to cancer is fighting and burning and killing. And I don't believe personally that's the energy of healing. Mm. And there's a great quote by Mother Teresa. She said, "I will never attend an anti-war rally, But if you have a peace rally, invite me.
Beautiful.
And I think she recognized that what you resist persists. So I tried to bring a different energy to that. So every choice I was making, be it the thoughts I was thinking, the way I was interacting with people, the things I was putting into my body, the exercise I was taking or not taking, my environment, the pauses, everything, the meditation, was this increasing my energy or decreasing it? So that was really my philosophy and how I really underpinned my healing.
I really like that you said cancer is an energy conversation. I've never heard that. So what is the energy of cancer in your opinion?
I don't know if I would call it it's the energy of cancer, but it's the energy of dis-ease.
Yeah.
Your body is in dis-ease and there is an energy leak somewhere. I believe. And I don't think that there's any silver bullet, which is why I put together this wheel. There's lots of different things. Anyone who tells you just one thing is going to cure you, I would not believe it. But I think it is true health, which is the opposite of cancer, is the summation of small, consistent, energy-enhancing actions, which make up your lifestyle. We know, there's obviously genetic components to different cancers, but I know Rudolf Tanzi and Dr. Deepak Chopra, I saw them do a talk at the World Geographical Society in London a number of years ago. And what really stood out to me, they said that only 5% of our disease-related genes are non-determinant. Or are determinant, meaning that you'll definitely get that disease. The other 95% are influenced by lifestyle. It's like the epigenetics. And so the stress you have or don't, the exercise you take or don't, the good food and, the way you eat, all of these things, lifestyle is the biggest determinant of your health.
Oh, I totally agree. Now, what is on, is it a energy wheel? What are some of the different areas in your energy wheel?
Yeah, there's 6 key areas that I found in doing years of research. And the first area is the foundation, the air, food, the breath, food, water, light, sleep, supplements you put into your body. No amount of positive thinking is going to overcome chronic sleep deprivation, dehydration, and a poor diet. Right. So that's the foundational thing. I think that that's what everybody really needs to start with. The second is mind energy. The thoughts you think, the images you visualize, are you catastrophizing? Are you worrying or are you focusing on gratitude and positivity? The third is move energy. I mean, we do know that sitting is the new smoking.
Right.
But it's not just the exercise. It's also body language and smiles. Just holding, we know that when people do depression, it's this. They look down. Looking up, smiling causes hormonal changes in your body that are beneficial to your health. So it's not just it's posture and facial expressions as well as the exercise. The fourth area is pause energy. That is the taking time out. Unplugging, everything will, work a better if you unplug it for a few minutes, including you.
Yeah.
So this is, it's choosing. Is it meditation? Is it prayer? Is it mindfulness? Is it 10 minutes of nothing? Those are That's the pause energy. And if you're not having any pause, and I feel like on our always on society and our digital devices drawing us in addictively, pause is a big energy leak for a lot of people in that area. The fifth area is space energy. And this is the sights, sounds, smells in your environment, and even on your physical environment. Are you always wearing plastic? We know that those are endocrine disruptors, which reduce your energy.
Yeah.
Interestingly, an allergist told me that if you wear polyester out, you know, pollen sucks to it like a magnet. And if you want to have fewer allergy symptoms, wear natural fibers like cotton and linen, which repels that. Which is interesting.
I didn't know that. And women who are health conscious are like living in their fitness clothes, and they probably are, you know, attracting pollens and pollutants into the polyester. So that's really
not only the microplastics that are going in through their biggest organ, their skin. So that is a big thing where there's a lot more research coming out on that. But then it's also the sights. We know that, you know, people in hospitals that have a view on nature, there's a study done, they heal faster. So are you surrounding yourself with, you know, beautiful flowers, nice, you know, smells, you know, inspiring images, these things, or is your space filled with clutter, and which is really a physical representation of an undone to-do list, which is inherently very de-energizing.
Oh, I like that. Oh my God. Write that down if you have a pen. Clutter is a visual representation of an undone to-do list. That is a good one.
Yeah.
What is the sixth thing on the wheel for energy?
This is connection energy, the energy of relationships. How you interact and communicate with people will really be reflected back to you energetically.
That's so true.
So those are the six areas. And what I like people to do is really have an awareness. If they could scale themselves if they're feeling flat or de-energized, okay, well, where's your leak? Score each other area on a scale of 1 to 10, and then make some tiny changes, just little micro changes, and then start stacking them, like habit stacking.
I love this. Well, my area of deficiency is definitely the pause, because I somehow get energy by racing around from thing to thing and checking things off my to-do list, but then it catches up with me and I get exhausted. But in the moment, the energy feels like it's building.
Yeah, I think it's not so much the rushing around and not taking a pause. It's that you're on purpose. And I put that in the mind energy category. Like when you're doing something you love, it's inherently energizing. But we do need to unplug.
Yes. So that's my energy leak that I am committed to working on. So what does exponential energy mean, and how can we get more of it?
Well, I call it exponential energy because really time is finite. There's only 24 hours in the day, but what is the limit on energy? And, you know, it is, you know, you can have exponentially more energy than you have now if you bring awareness to where your leaks are and what you can do to plug them up, and new habits that you can create to have even more energy. So it's really, I like to work with people and create their own personal energy blueprint and to score yourself, because what gets measured gets done. So if one of your energy leaks is foundational, like you're not getting enough sleep, you know, I like to have like a little weekly scorecard. I'm okay. 7 to 8 hours sleep, tick. Okay. I get 8 points for that or 7 points for that. And then you start scoring yourself and you'll see, oh gosh, out of 100, you know, I only got 50. No wonder I'm exhausted. okay, what wasn't I doing? And looking at each of these areas and having some core practices in each of the areas to make sure you're firing on all cylinders.
We are going to come back from a quick commercial break and talk about some of your favorite core practices. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant show. We're taking you from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant, and we'll be right back after a quick break. Welcome back. We are interviewing Susan Treadgold. She is going to tell us some core habits to increase our energy.
Well, do you know what, Rebecca? Everybody is energized in a different way. I will share some core habits, but really, these are personalized. For instance, introverts, a lot of them re-energize by being in a quiet space and taking time and pausing and going within into their internal world of thoughts, ideas, and emotions. Whereas an extrovert will go out and interact with people, and that will be energizing. So the core practices are really going to be, personalized to each person, depending on what, in some people, like they're thinking, oh gosh, I'm really feeling de-energized. I'm going to go for a run. Like never in a million years would that be something I said to myself.
Me neither. If you see me running, call the cops because somebody's chasing me. That does not energize me at all. What energizes you when you're feeling depleted or burned out personally?
Okay. So one of the things that I think that there's a real lack of community and connection going on in the world right now.
I agree.
And so one of my favorite exercises or practices is called the 5-penny exercise.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of this?
No.
Okay. You start the day with 5 pennies in your right pocket. And I talk about this in my TED talk. And throughout the day, you have to magically move them one by one over to your left pocket. The only way you can move a penny is to appreciate, express gratitude, or acknowledge somebody.
Oh, I love this.
Yes. And what is great about this is it is really infectious energy. So not only does it energize you, but it energizes the person that you are spending the penny on. And so I think that that's a lovely practice because we kind of can get caught up in our own world. And I think this is what I call connection energy. It's a connection energy practice. And it can be a text. It can be, personal or a phone call, any of those things.
But I love this exercise. I call it like a compliment challenge. I kind of do that with my clients. And we have like in our group class, we have a contest to see who can give the most compliments in a week. But I love this version of it because it's every day, 5 ways of showing appreciation, gratitude, compliments, and you get to move the pennies over. That would definitely energize me. What else energizes you today?
Well, there is research that shows that this next tip is, it lowers blood pressure, increases immunity, makes you happier, and it always, again, has a 2-for-1 impact.
Okay.
And this is, and I think, you know, and has no side effects. I think this was if it was a drug, it would, like, I have no idea how it would be priced. It would be so amazing. But it's hugs. Yes. So I find hugs completely energizing. My kids are teenagers now, so they're not as into it or finding it as energizing as I do. But I love hugs. That's one of my top things. And it's also the fastest way to change your psychology is to change your physiology. So if you are feeling de-energized, just standing up, this move right here, standing up, taking up space, it causes, if you hold that for 2 minutes, it causes hormonal changes. It increases testosterone in your body, which is associated with confidence and energy, and it decreases cortisol. So when we start getting de-energized, most of us are sitting at our desks, we're hunched over, looking down at our devices, and that is actually increasing cortisol, which is de-energizing for the body. So standing up, doing that, smiling, hold it for 2 minutes, and you will feel more energized.
And it's heart opening, you know, physically, you're opening your heart to the world, you're saying to the heavens, like, I'm a channel, I want to be a download for
good.
And it is beautiful. That's a beautiful stance.
And when you think about yoga, so many people feel de-stressed and energized after it. And 90% of the poses are these expansive poses.
I love it. Do you do yoga?
I do it once a week. I live in San Diego, so there's beach yoga on Sundays, and yep. I love it. I get the negative ions from the ocean. Yeah, it's a part of my core routine.
That's another thing that science is proving energizes you. They're saying to walk barefoot on the ground. There's something with earth energy.
Earthing. Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Oh, I think it's so true. And it's great for jet lag. When I went over to Europe for the TED Talk, I went via London first and met with some friends. But I heard that earthing was one of the fastest way to get over jet lag. So she picked me up at lunchtime and we went and sat in her back garden. And I had my feet in the grass for like 2 hours. And Rebecca, it was my best overcoming of jet lag ever.
That is great. And then what about, they say to look at the sunlight without sunscreen on in the morning. Do you agree with that?
I do that. And you know what I find even more impactful is the evening. Go at watching sunset, because then it's letting off these red rays. As long as you don't go back and then get on your blue screens for hours afterwards. But getting sunlight beginning of the day, end of the day, and briefly 15 minutes midday is supposed to be so, so, so beneficial.
So good. So you could also do the five penny thing with hugs, right? And gamify that and be like, I'm going to get my 5 hugs today.
Yes, exactly. Go, Rebecca. I like your thinking.
I love it. So how do you define high performing?
I think I love asking every client I work with how they define it, because I've never gotten the same answer twice. But for me, what I'm always working for is to be joyful, confident, and fully engaged in my work, relationships, and health with strategies and habits in place to consistently live for my best self.
Well, that's
it's really holistic. Yeah. That's why I am call myself a holistic high performance coach. It's not like just, you know, having it all together at work or at home, or, you know, it's really holistic. Work, relationships, health, or purpose, relationships, health. That's really, you know, I think, what does that not cover?
I like that you said joyfully, because I believe the measure of success is how much joy you feel, because you could have all the money in the world, and if you're miserable, depressed, sick, can't enjoy it, what is the point? If you have a beautiful relationship, but you're not enjoying the other person because you're so in your own head,
what's
the point? So I love that joy is part of your definition. That is just beautiful. So what are women missing that are coming to you usually? What is the pattern? Where are they not meeting your definition of high performance?
It's different for different women, but I still think that women I think there's different answers, ways I could answer that. They may have a lack of awareness of what is energizing and de-energizing them, mm-hmm. and they're not sequencing it properly, because we all have aspects of our life that we have to contend with that may not be energizing for us. You know, taking out the trash is probably not the top of anybody's energized list.
Unless you take out the trash while listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant show or the High Performance Woman talk show.
Well, there you go. But, so it's thinking about sequencing and combining it. So you kind of brought up a little bit of the solution. Yeah. So, but there was a study done by McKinsey years and years ago, and it was called How Talented Women Thrive. And they found that these women, they could have had similar workloads and family workloads, et cetera. But how the talented women thrived is they did not save all of their de-energizing activities to the end of the day. And they were very conscious about, like, okay, that was a really de-energizing thing I had to do just now. Now I'm going to do something energizing. And now when I come home, the first thing, if I've had a really long day, and not the first thing I'm not going to do is do all the things I hate, like clean up the clutter, do this, do that. I'm going to do something that is going to nurture me and re-energize me before I even try to do that. So, because what they found is women more than men, when they dip into their energy reserves, they're more likely to burn out or opt out than men. Even in this day and age, it is more acceptable for women to just say, oh, it's not worth it if they're in a relationship, and to opt out and really no. So that's one of the things I see, is that they're not really being aware of what is zapping them and what is boosting them. I think another thing, which I'm seeing less of, but when I was in investment banking, I think inauthenticity is very draining.
Yes. Amen. Small talk and being fake is so draining. And they said that the highest vibration of any emotion, even higher than love, is authenticity.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Right. You can't consistently do who you aren't. Yes. It's, and so I think that was one of the biggest things that led to my burnout in investment banking, because really I was an American woman, surrounded by pale, stale, and male, older men.
And pale, when stale, I started, and male, that is hilarious. I've never heard that.
and when I went, when I started managing people, you know, they said, if you don't know how to do something, model someone who does. But the only models I had were older males. And when I try on their behaviors in dealing with people, it just did not land. It was awful. And I would almost have these out of body experiences looking at myself. Did you seriously just say that? And I think this always trying to be a certain way, and that was inauthentic. So I think really getting in touch with your own values, your own, figuring out your own way of doing things. Like, everybody's got their own style. And I think being authentic is enhanced great at energizing. And I think probably the third thing is the inability to say no.
Like, women are great. Yes, great. Saying no is a superpower. Talk about that. Actually, let's cut to a quick break and let's come back and talk about how saying no, even though it can be scary at first, is ultimately energizing. Thanks, everyone, for watching the show. And we're going to cut to a quick break. Welcome back. Let's talk about how saying no, although it can be hard at first, is really quite energizing.
Yeah, I was actually going to share with you my I was just thinking about this. A lot of people don't say no because it's fear related. They don't want to hurt someone's feelings. They don't want to be considered that they're not doing enough. And I think people are sometimes lacking an elegant tool for saying no. And I have a little no formula. There's different ways. I always encourage my clients to build their no repertoire, all the different ways that they can say no.
Tell us, what is your juicy no formula?
It's not so earth shattering, but the first thing I think a lot of people do, which really disarms the person making the request, is that you thank them. Like, oh my God, thank you, Rebecca, for thinking of me. Mm-hmm. And then you affirm the request. That sounds really important and urgent. Or that sounds like a really important project. And you do instead of but, because but negates everything that comes before it. Mm-hmm. You say, and I'm going to have to decline for a number of reasons. And you can say something like, I wish I had a body double. And then you can either at the end just leave it at that, because no is a complete sentence, but you can leave it at that, or you can do, you know, the delegated or dated. You can say, if you're able to, you can just say, so and so might be able to help you, or if we reconvene in a month's time, I might be able to help you, type of, you know, you can offer that sort of consolation prize if you'd like at the end. But I think just leaving it at that and then wishing them well, signing off, that's perfect.
That is so good. So you thank them for the request, affirm what? Affirm them?
The importance of the, you're like, that, wow, that sounds really important, or that sounds really interesting, or that's I think a lot of people go straight into the rejection and they skip those first two things.
Yeah.
And when they feel more elegant doing it, they'll dread saying no less.
And then and is so good, because everything after but is bullshit, because like you said, it negates the prior sentence. And then the decline is,
you can use humor. Like, I wish I had a body double.
That's so cute. That, you know, powerful. Let's dive into your TEDx talk in Florence. What is the title of it? And give us some of the key takeaways and where we can see the actual talk. When is it coming out?
So the title is called Fix Your Flat Tire, How Energy Transforms Your Life. And it's really what we've been talking about this whole time. I give some statistics about burnout. You know, there's over 80% of people are saying they're burned out right now in the United States. That was the latest study I saw, which is just truly shocking. And, you know, over half feel used up at the end of the day. So energy is really the antidote to burnout. And that's what I talked about. And I talked about my own health journey through breast cancer and how I healed. And I believe that the biggest thing that contributed to my healing is how it was changing my energy. Mm-hmm. And then I go through the wheel that we talked about. And then I also share some tips. So that's just, it's a quick 10-minute video, and it should be out. It's in editing. So all of TEDx talks go onto YouTube. So it'll probably be out end of June or July.
Okay, awesome. Well, we'll be looking for that. That is so exciting. So what do you think in general? I know we've talked about being inauthentic, but is there another surprising biggest energy drain for women, especially ambitious women, that might not be the first thing on our minds?
I don't know how surprising anything is. It's maybe, it depends their age. I mean, hormones are something that is a big energy drain if you do not have that dialed in, women of a certain age. So, and getting sufficient sleep, you know, that is, everything is better with sleep. So, I don't know if there's anything else
I think sleep is a surprise, because for a while it was like getting 7, 8, 9 hours of sleep was considered like indulgent. And with the recent studies that have come out, sleep is essential for mental health, for recovery, for everything, you know, cognitive.
Yeah. In my, you know, early career time in investment banking, it was like a badge of honor to tell people you pulled an all-nighter. Mm-hmm. I think Arianna Huffington, in her high-profile book about sleep, really started to change things. And now there's even a national sleep day. But people...
Is there really?
Yeah, it's in March. I can't remember what day. But I think this consistent dismissal of sleep as something that is a power habit is slowly being acknowledged. Because I know that there was investment bankers would be like, oh, I have plenty of time to sleep when I'm dead. And You know what? There was actually a study done by Project Energy, or at least reported on by them. And there was like 21 mice, and they were two sets, and they were not 21 mice, but a group of mice for 21 days were given no food and the other no sleep. And at the end of the study, they had 100% skinny mice and 100% dead mice. So the real conclusion is, you know, sleep or die.
Skinny mice or dead mice. That's a powerful visual.
Yeah. I like saying the phrase, sleep your way to the top. Not necessarily the way you think, but it helps with, you know, sleep deprivation. Our vision goes down, our ability to calculate numbers, our emotional regulation, you know. If you think about your last big fight with anybody, I'm sure some sort of sleep deprivation was involved. So, you know, you see a toddler when they've missed their nap, and they have their little meltdowns. Well, you know, grownups are not so different. It may look a little bit different, but it's important.
So if you're fighting with a grownup, ask them if they need a nap.
I'm sure that'll go down well.
Oh, have you had your nap today?
Oh, you didn't miss your nap today.
So one of your great quotes is, your energy is your success strategy. Can you explain that?
Yeah. You know, we have... the more energy you have, the more you can be, have, and do. Mm-hmm. And so you can focus on all sorts of other strategies, but if you're not focusing on your energy, this came from Project Energy, actually, as a quote, is the number one factor in lasting success in almost anything. So if you could think of any person you have, you know, if you have no energy, what is your communication with others like? You know, what is your performance like? What are your decisions like? It just, it all goes down the hill. So energy is your strategy. And I really think people need to consider it from that point of view more frequently.
What are some of your favorite biohacking tools to have more energy? Other than, we did mention sleep, but are there any supplements, detoxes, drinks, concoctions?
I've got lots of that. I've been building my own longevity portfolio for a number of years to make sure that cancer doesn't return. And so I have, I love my Relax Sauna, which detoxifies with infrared. I also use an Avacyn, which is a device you put your hand in, and it uses negative heat compression to open up your veins and increase circulation.
How do you spell that? I've never heard of Avacyn.
Avacen.
Is that the brand of the device?
Yeah, cool. It's an FDA-approved device. And you can just, I do that every morning and evening. And I also put on my brain tap. Actually, it's sitting right here. Little plug for brain tap. You put it on and it has lights that come out. It uses five different technologies. It uses red and blue light therapy, guided visualization. It uses binaural beats, isochronic tones, holographic music, and all of these technologies combine to put your brain into the state you want. Like a car, there's 5 gears, alpha, beta, gamma, delta, theta. And we're usually like stuck in second gear in beta, running around busy doing and And so getting your brain into theta and relaxing or delta to sleep is so important. So I use that every day as well. There's like thousands of programs. Some of them are just to get your brain in the gear that you want, and others are to help behavioral change. Smoking, right?
You do that as like a enhancement to your meditation practice?
Yes, actually the research shows that the desired brain states that come out of this actually are better than even some of the most experienced meditators. So you can have, there's lots of different programs. Some have like kind of white noise, some have music, some have nature sounds, some have guided visualization. It's finding and getting a variety and seeing what works for you best. I also like putting the gamma on. I lift up the visor and I use the gamma and for focus. So if I have to do a bunch of emails, I just put that on and it blocks out all the distraction. I'm like, boom, 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 boom. I get a ton done. So those are some of my favorite things. I also use LifeWave patches. Been using those for about 4 years. Like this is what it looks like. It's just a little patch.
Yeah, I use those. Where do you put them? You like?
I put it on the back of your neck on that little bone below the base of your skull. Kind of the top of your spine. And I like the X39, which stimulates your stem cell production. And I also like the energy enhancer patches, obviously, because they enhance your energy. So those are like there and there.
Oh, good for you. Wow. I've tried the X39 and I've tried it like right under the belly button. I honestly haven't seen much of a difference, but I know there's a lot of science behind it. So that's amazing. So this brain tap, is that what it's called? Is that by Google or is just Google? How do we find the brain tap? That sounds amazing.
Well, you know, these are all of these things I mentioned. I also distribute, I have discounts for my clients.
Amazing. So share the link, share that link and we'll put it in the show notes.
Sure. So
one of the things that you've done in your career before you were a longevity coach is you're great at presenting and pitching. There's a lot of entrepreneurs who listen to this podcast, a lot of salespeople. What are some great tips to prepare a game-changing pitch, presentation, or performance at work?
I think there are two things. I think having a vision of how you want it to say, so it's called a pre-mortem. Mm-hmm. So what I do, instead of a post-mortem and you analyze what went wrong, mm-hmm. To make it better next time, I encourage people to do a pre-mortem. And that is to fast forward to the end of the pitch and assume unmitigated disaster. Anything and everything that could have gone wrong did. Get all your worries, concerns, what questions they're going to ask me, what they're going to be like, whether the subway is delayed, whether, put it all out there. And then what you do is you go back and like, okay, what can I do? Which of those are under my control and what can I do to make sure that they don't happen? So as when I used to do a lot of speaking in London, I would like, oh, what if I get a run or a ladder, as they say, in my tights? I'd bring an extra pair. What if I show up and they don't have a clicker? Well, I brought my own along. What if there is a tube strike in London, which was happening all the time? If you woke up that morning and you had to get somewhere, if you tried to call a taxi, forget it. You'd be You couldn't find one for love or money. So I started booking one the night before. And if I woke up and found there was no tube strike, then I just cancel it. So this was like my pre-mortem. So that's just more about kind of being prepared and being the best version of yourself. But the other thing is I like storytelling.
And so important.
Yes. And so at the very beginning of a pitch, make a point. It could be a shocking statistic, a memorable quote, or a provocative question related to what you're talking about. And then immediately launch into a story. And that illustrates, because people learn differently through stories. Their brains light up differently on MRIs. It's why gossip is so compelling. You know, before we had written language, we had the oracle, but I'll tell you how we're trained to recognize a story is coming. Once upon a time, in a land far, far away, there was a beautiful princess and handsome prince. So specific time, place, and character. If you do that, people immediately go like that, which is why I was saying gossip is so compelling. So Rebecca, you won't believe what Robert did at the offsite last week. So if you have that in the first sentence, people immediately go, ooh, story's coming. I'm going to listen. And people learn better through stories. So having a story at the beginning of your pitch can be very impactful. I have a 5-point process that I take people through if they're doing a short pitch, but I don't have time to go through that now. But that was one of the first things. A lot of people leave off stories. They just jump in. And I think that is something that will set them apart.
What makes for a great story? Do you have a story format or?
Having quotable dialogue makes for a great story.
There you go.
And I said to myself, did I seriously just see her do that? And then I asked her and said, Anna, did you just hang up on that client? And she said, yes, Susan, I did. And I'm like, Anna, why did you do that? And she said, Susan, well, my call metrics are judged on whether I can answer the query within 10 minutes. And I wasn't going to be able to do that. But by the time she calls back, I'll be able to do it in a second 10 minutes.
Because that's like a book. That's how a book goes. It goes, you know, from quotable thing to quotable thing back and forth. That's cool.
Yes, by putting a little bit of that into your story, it draws people in a little bit more.
Wow. Did you do a pre-mortem thing about this podcast?
I did not.
Oh, I'm so glad. Because you have absolutely crushed it. I know my listeners are just falling in love with you and they're going to want to find you online and stay in touch with you. So where can people find you online?
You can get in touch through my LinkedIn profile. That is a great way. I have TedLondon.com, which is a website, admittedly a little bit creaking now. We got to have a new one coming out soon. Or you can email Susan@TedLondon.com.
Thank you so much for being on the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant show. Thank you, listeners, for sharing this content. This is why we are growing. This is why we're a top globally ranked show, because we are spreading the word that you can achieve success without the burnout and the overwhelm. You can actually have joy, just the way that Susan beautifully explained in this show. So definitely share the show with a friend. Copy and paste. It's so easy to give someone this amazing tool. And until we meet again, keep your vibe high and magnetized. Bye, everyone.